The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
In a world where good news is hard to find, WAVA and One Heart DC present Good News for the City. We're here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what his body, the church, is doing to spread this good news in the Washington, D.C. metro area, including Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. As Jesus said in John 17, "Father, that they may be one, just as we are one." Welcome to Good News for the City.
It's the gospel that makes a way.
Well, hello, everyone, and so glad that you have joined me on this day as we, as always, talk about the importance of Jesus and the importance of the good news that is the gospel that makes a way in our life. You know, from time to time, what I like to do is start a segment out by going to a section of scripture and reading it for us. And so I want to do that now if I can. It's from the letter to the Ephesians penned by the Apostle Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I always love that verse because it says that before the foundation of the earth, God had a plan. However, it says we should walk in them. That means in that plan, God often allows us a choice about how we're going to respond to him. Will we walk in the way that he wants us to, or will we not? And my guest today, I'm really just excited to have a conversation with him. His name is Pastor Victor Stanley. He is the lead senior pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Woodbridge. You can find out more about him and, of course, find out more about his ministry by going to cbc-woodbridge.org. So, Pastor Stanley, thanks for joining me today. I know that as I've just got to know a little bit about you through the website and a few other things, that you have a story to help encourage us here on WAVA.
Well, hey, glad to be here, and hopefully I can make a contribution that can be a blessing to your listeners.
Well, I'm sure that you can. A little bit of quick research I did on my part is that you have been currently at Calvary Baptist Church, is that correct, since 2008?
I've been the senior pastor since 2008. I actually came to the church in 1997, believe it or not.
Well, you know what's so interesting is when I was doing a little bit of just background about our conversation today, I really resonated with the fact that where you are now isn't necessarily where you started. And by that, I just mean this. I'm a pastor. I pastor Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn, Virginia. And when I meet people, I think people think that my goal in life many times was to be a pastor and that that's what I've always done. But my journey seems to be a little bit like your journey, maybe not nearly as successful as your journey was in the business world, but one that started not in ministry, so to speak, serving through a church, but ministry serving just in business. Tell us a little bit about your past and what God had been doing in your life and eventually what God did to your life to bring to you where you are today.
Sure. My pleasure. Yeah, I was raised in a Christian home. My mother was a very strong believer. And so, you know, we were raised as Christians. But I worked, man, I was a real estate agent. I worked in a corporation where I started out as a telemarketer. And so I began to work my way up and finally became a vice president. I was assistant to the president, acting in a vice president capacity, a large company that's still very active now. And I was still rising to the top. I had been called by the headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, I lived in Chicago at that time, and they wanted me to come out and apply for one of the executive positions in the corporate headquarters. And I was so excited about that. And I remember saying to my wife, hey, they're going to fly me out to interview for this. And she said, well, hey, whatever God wants, that's what we're going to do. You know, I'm following you. I went out, interviewed for the position, was real excited about it, had a company car and all of those things. And when I came back home and telling my wife about it and the raise and all of those things, I could not say that really this was a God thing. You know, I was a believer, I was a follower of Christ, but it just seemed like I wasn't getting this thing from God saying, yes, Victor, this is the way to go. And I turned it down. I took another position in the company in Chicago where we lived at that time. And eventually the Lord just kept impressing on me to do more, to even leave the position, which I had a problem with, because the one thing I told the Lord, I will do anything for you. The one thing I won't do for you is be a pastor. I had
so Pastor
no
Victor, I have to stop you there. I said the same thing. I said the same thing in my life. I jokingly have said this to people. You know, the two things I've told God I won't do is be a pastor and then move back to Ohio. And I've done both of those in my lifetime. And the running joke that I have is after that, I said, maybe I'll try to fool God and say, I won't be a multimillionaire pastor in Hawaii and see if that works. But I don't think that's how God works, right?
No, I would have liked to have taken that route myself. But
sure.
I remember finally giving in to the Lord, and my wife was like, it's about time. I already knew what God was doing in your life, you know? And so, I left my job. We really struggled financially, but we believed that God was in this thing. I went to Moody Bible Institute, did a degree in Christian education. That was my strong point. And then the church here in Virginia contacted me to come and be their pastor of Christian education. And I did that until about 2007. The pastor walks in and says, I'm done. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I said, what does that mean? And he says, I'm leaving. I feel like God is calling me somewhere else. And I said, okay, back to Chicago for me and my family. And the church asked me to take over as pastor, which is something my wife saw before I didn't, but she's a much wiser person than I am. And so since 2008, I've been the senior pastor there.
You know, one of the things that I've recognized in a lot of people's God stories is that he is so wise in how he unfolds his story.
Yes.
Such that for many of us, I think that if he told us everything that he had planned for us in advance, it might even be overwhelming about what he's going to do. And certainly
Absolutely.
From time to time, I've thought this in my own life, maybe others have. If God would have told me everything that he had planned for me, I probably would have been much more like Jonah looking for that boat to Tarsus than I would have been at the beginning saying, yes, this sounds like a great idea, especially when we're talking about some of the things, certainly when God invited you to walk in the good works that he prepared beforehand for you that you didn't know. Going from a
Absolutely.
Place with a company car and financial stability to whatever the opposite of that was. In when you stepped into that and God showed up, what did it begin to teach you about God and who he was in your life that certainly then that he wants to use now as he uses you to teach others about who he is and how he shows up in their life?
Well, one of the things is dependency. I think that there are so many believers who talk about depending upon God, but they've never been put in a position where they really have to depend on God. And that's how it started, you know, to say yes to the Lord for our situation, to leave, give up the company car, give up the company credit cards, and to just depend on the Lord, for looking for him to provide. And dependency is a thing that I learned, first of all. We had to depend upon God, and there were people who sent checks to us just out of the clear blue. And, you know, we were just blown away. And so that's one of the things I try to emphasize to people. If you're going to depend upon God, really depend upon him, because he's able to do all things except fail. And so I learned that strongly, to depend upon God. Even taking the position here, they weren't able to pay me very much, but we felt like it was what God wanted us to do, so we came. And we've been here for a lot of years now, and the Lord has blessed us to raise four children. They're all adults now. We also had a passion just for kids. And so we adopted two children. So our two youngest children are adopted. And the Lord just blessed. He kept us. And now we can look back and just see how faithful God is.
One of the things I'm just grateful about you sharing that part of your story is I think that many times we want a theoretical God. By that, I mean this. You know, yeah. We can quote verses like you alluded to from Ephesians chapter 3. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. But we don't want to be in a place where God has to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. We want to be in a place where we can depend upon ourselves. But to depend upon God by nature, to understand this isn't just a theoretical idea that we read from Scripture, but this is an actual reality that we can live from, it requires us being in what I like to say and what other people have called some of those thin places in our life where we can only give the credit to God when things come through.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think that's the thing that so many of us have to come to grips with when we say we trust in God, we follow God, we love God. But do you really love God? Do you really follow God? What happens when you're faced with some devastating thing or something that happens in your life or in your family? Are you going to depend on God at that time? Are you going to call on Him, or are you going to fall apart? And again and again over the years, as we've faced challenges, as we've gone through different things, being a pastor doesn't mean that everything goes perfect. It actually means that you're not dealing only with your challenges, but you're also dealing with the challenges of your families in your church. And so it's quite a challenge, but are you going to depend on the Lord? And we have to live that out, and we have to show people that God is faithful and He's able. And I'm so thankful to be one of His instruments to do that.
You know, this reminder again from Scripture that greater is He that is in us, the very Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. But there are certainly a lot of times, I believe, in our life where the circumstances around us feel and seem a lot bigger than the God who is within us. Yet what we discover is that when we do step and still follow Him in faith, He shows up in amazing ways that transform us. And so I certainly, and just I'm already encouraged hearing about those things that have been transformed in your life and how you can then speak from a place of what I would like to say experience to the people
right.
that you do preach to. How does that make a difference in your communication, in your preaching, in your pastoring?
Well, you hit the nail upon the head. When I'm delivering a message, first of all, when I'm working on a message, you know, I'm you know, certainly seeking God's guidance, and I'm looking for God to lead me. Certainly, I'll lay out series and things like that. But once I've got the scripture text, I can see where I feel like God is leading me. But then I'm always asking God to remind me of how you have worked in my life so that I can make this thing a real thing, a thing that connects with people with where they are. Because, you know, I've had challenges. I've had struggles. I've had things that have come up against me as I've walked and to serve the Lord. And so I think that when we can take our life experiences and put them into the story and use the Word of God to convey how God can take you through some of the most challenging issues that you face in your life. And so I do that a lot in my messages. I'm always sharing how God has brought me through. And when you're speaking from experience, I think that there's something really, really powerful about that. If I'm delivering the message and I'm sharing a story of how God worked in my life, the passion is there, the knowing what God can do is there, and it really conveys it to people, somebody out there who may be struggling. When you say that God can take you through, when you say that God can heal your hurts, when you say God can lift you up when you're down, you're not just giving some clever phrase that you heard some Yes. other pastor say. You're speaking from experience, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Pastor, I'm so encouraged by what I've heard from you already. And one of my passions here, when I have a chance to communicate to people via the radio or podcast or however we're hearing this, is to help a lot of people in the post-pandemic world re-engage back into church life. So many people during the pandemic stepped away for one reason or the other, and they found themselves challenged to sort of connect back in. And so I'm sure, like I have, I'm resonating with what you're saying in your heart. A lot of the listeners are as well. Would you tell them a little bit about Calvary Baptist Church down there in Woodridge, so that maybe they may find their way to there one Sunday or some connection point?
Sure, yeah. I'd love to tell you a little bit about our church. It's, of course, I'm going to say it's one of the best churches in Woodbridge. Of course, I have to say that. It is a very diverse church. That's a significant aspect of it. So we've got people from all over the world who worship there, people from interracial marriages, different backgrounds. So that's a real blessing. But the big deal is that we worship as a family. We promote serving together, loving one another, fellowshipping together, and it's just been an incredible blessing. In fact, I get blown away by the fact that God has allowed me to pastor this church. And so we you know, try to make sure that we identify people's needs. We try to, you know, deal with issues that may come up where people are struggling. You mentioned about the coronavirus, and there were a lot of people who just stopped going to church and never came back. And we had that same thing happen. But I always encourage people that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's just not so we can just have a lot of people in church. But that's because we need to fellowship. We need to
yes,
come
we
together.
Do.
We strengthen one another. We grow, and we're able to touch and to hug and to smile at one another. It is so important. And I think that there's so many people who have missed how important that is. And so Calvary's that type of church, got a nice diverse staff, and we just enjoy worshiping the Lord and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it continues to be a blessing for me, and I think that's the way I approach it. I just thank God. I'm like, man, I'm blessed. I get to come in here and preach. I get to come in here and hug people, and that's what I try to encourage people to do. So it's a great church.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And one of the things that you highlighted, this idea, is that the gospel is meant to be experienced in a communal way. It is information that's meant to be lived out, not information that's just supposed to be taken in our head and memorized. And it's lived out via community. And I love WAVA. I'm on the radio right now. But listen to some of the great communicators that come on to WAVA is not a substitute for what God designed the church to be, that
Absolutely.
He wants that truth to be lived out in community together. And certainly people can find out more by going to the website. But when you gather together, let's say on a Sunday, which I imagine is the main day that a lot of our churches gather together, what times are your service?
Well, our service right now is at 11 o'clock. And before that, at 9:30, you can participate in some of the classes. We have adult Bible fellowships that run from 9:30 to 10:30, and we have something for all the kids. In fact, children's ministry is huge where we are. We do a lot of children's ministry, have a ministry for the youth. So that happens at 9:30 to 10:30. Service is at 11 o'clock. And then we have evening Bible study, choir rehearsals, and youth small groups. All that runs on Sunday evenings. Through the week, we have, if you go to the website, you'll see some of the things that we do through the week. We have women's ministries, men's ministries. We try to cover everybody. So nobody is left
yes.
out, and everybody has something that they can plug into, because that's important.
And, you know, as we continue in our conversation, one of the things that as I'm looking at just the ways that God has gifted you, certainly being the senior lead pastor at Calvary Baptist there is one expression of how you live out the spiritual gifts God's made you in you and gave you to walk in those good works that he prepared beforehand. But there are other passions and things as well that come alongside the church, come alongside the giftings that God has given you to live out the gospel that you have. For example, you are a part of a board down there in Woodbridge. bridge for a crisis pregnancy center called Life First. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct. Yeah, I've been just volunteering and helping there for years. And this year they asked me to come on board and to be one of their board members. As I said earlier, our two youngest children, well, they're like 30 and 32 now years old. They're adopted. It was something that the Lord had put on our hearts when we still lived in Chicago, that we said to the Lord, you know, if you give us the ability and you give us the space, a place where we can take on one child is what we said to the Lord, that we would be willing to do that. And I guess God says, well, no, I want you to have two. So yeah. We took on two children, and they are just a part of our hearts. What they get a thrill when we all go to a restaurant and someone, when they were younger, would stop and say, oh, all of your children look just like you. Man, they would just crack up, you know. But it's been wonderful. And so, yeah, I do serve with Life First. And then I do, right now I'm working on starting a school at the church. We have a lot of homeschool parents. My wife was a teacher in the school system for 39 years. So we're big on education. I'm also an adjunct professor for Liberty University School of Divinity. We think education is really, really important. So, yeah, my hands are kind of full.
And it sounds like
continues to bless.
Sounds like there are. We have so much in common. I'm also married to an educator. She's been an educator for 20 years now. And we both decided that we didn't want to be pastors at some point. So I'm sure we have a lot to share in common. And of course, as well, if you're like my life, I often say is that the Holy Spirit often works in me and through my wife. And if it doesn't work in me first, it's definitely definitely.
That's exactly right. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in our last couple minutes here, if we can. If there's a listener out there who needs to be encouraged about why Jesus matters day in and day in their life, would you encourage them?
Sure, absolutely. You go through your life, you see each day. You see the sun rise and you see the sun go down. And you may wonder what is important in your life. Is this all that there is? Well, I'm here to tell you that there is something that is very important, that God came and he got on a cross and he died and was put into a grave and he rose from the grave so that you can have victory in Christ Jesus, that you don't have to live your life wondering. You don't have to live your life alone. You don't have to live your life in confusion or turmoil, because there is a God who loves you so much that he gave his life for you. And you need to consider this. You need to consider that if he loved you that much, that maybe you should give him a chance. Maybe you should stop by the church and find out just how much he loves you. And you will witness a group of people who have come to know salvation in Christ Jesus. You can be a part of that. God is calling you. He's been calling you for a long time. Don't turn a deaf ear to him. Listen and come to Jesus. He's waiting for you.
Amen and amen. Well, Pastor Victor, thank you for giving God a chance in your own life, not only just saying yes to salvation to give you an eternity with him, but also saying yes to those good works that he's prepared beforehand and being part of his process of transforming lives on this side eternally as well. I've certainly enjoyed our conversation today around that. And listeners, I know that you've enjoyed this conversation as well. And if you'd like to, again, get to know him a little bit more, and that'd be Pastor Stanley, you can find out more about him at www.cbc-woodbridge.org. That stands for Calvary Baptist Church there in Woodbridge, Virginia. But of course, I've not known Pastor Victor very long, but I can guarantee he wants to let you know this isn't about him. This is about the one that he serves and the one that his church points to, and that is Jesus Christ. Because
Yes,
is the truth of what we say here, right? That it's because of what Jesus did that any of us have any hope. And amen. Absolutely. And amen.
Amen.
So again, thanks so much. Listeners, if there's something here that you'd like to comment with, wave on. Of course, you can always send us an email here at comment@wava.com. If you'd like to talk to me, I would love to talk to you. You can get a hold of me at my other place of work, Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn, Virginia. You can call 703-729-3900. Thanks for listening today. And remember, it's the gospel that makes a way.
Thank you for joining us and listening to Good News for the City, a gospel partnership between WAVA and One Heart DC. This is a partnership movement which celebrates and seeks to accelerate the move of the gospel into the Washington, D.C. metro area. It is our prayer that through this radio broadcast ministry of Good News for the City, we will see transformed lives and communities and more people responding to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to help bring unity to Bible-believing people and churches in order to multiply our impact in our city, and we would love for you to join us. You can learn more at goodnewsforthecity.com. That's goodnewsforthecity.com. Or you can go to WAVA.com, keyword good news. Or you can call us at 703-807-2266. 703-807-2266. And remember, it's the gospel that makes a way.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.